all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, August 14th. An hour of radio that should come with an advisory for language, because we're going to talk about poop. So,
why is that language? That's not language, it's content.
Okay, well, here's an advisory for content. We're going to talk about poop in just a second here. But consider yourself warned, that way you have time to finish breakfast or whatever the case may be. But this is the part where I normally say, on this Monday, August 14th, it's National Creamsicle Day. And I tell you then that I think creamsicles are gross.
I think they're gross too. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, Aaron.
I think it depends. Sometimes they're good, but certainly only one. And even by the end of one, I'm kind of like, eh. So I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, can be just a little too sweet, too rich. But the reason I say, I may have to alter how we do this, because as I was telling Kristen during the break here about, you know, the National Day calendar site that I go to, well, she mentioned a different website that has many more events on it. I think I'm going to have to change the way I prep for this show over here, because the site you went to, which is nationaltoday.com, also tells us that it's National Financial Awareness Day, it's National Love Your Bookshop Day, National Tattoo Removal Day, National Navajo Code Talkers Day, and then they have some celebrity birthdays in there. So I think you have found my new prep website, Kristen. Thank you for that.
I got you, Pat.
But it reminds me to tell the story of how we debate artificial intelligence and whether AI is going to be taking over, you know, the world or not. And the one area I'd like AI to take over is some of my show prep. I'd love to go to a ChatGPT and just say, you know, prepare me a report on the, you know, the historical happenings and the music history and the celebrity birthdays for this day. I have tried it a couple of different times, and what it spits back out is usually wrong. Has birthdays that aren't actually on that day and events that, and I don't even know how they could get it wrong. I could see missing things, but I feel like I'm the one who's going to end up breaking AI before it really gets off the ground.
Maybe there's some kind of clause you have to put in there to say a real list, as opposed to it just looking at lists of celebrity birthdays and being like, this is something that looks like a list of celebrity birthdays.
I guess so. I'm going to have to work on that because, you know, yes, Kristen.
Is there a little part of you that feels satisfied when it comes up with the wrong information?
Because then you can more than satisfied. I mean, come on. At that point, I'm Bobby Fischer beating the chess computer, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it reminds me of an episode of Big Bang Theory we were just watching last night about, you know, can Sheldon handle it if somebody is actually smarter than him? Oh, by the way, to that end, being down in La Crosse over the weekend and meeting with some friends, after we got done, you know, shooting some pool, and they've got air hockey in their basement, and they pulled out Trivial Pursuit Big Bang Edition.
Oh, geez.
It turns out they watch Big Bang Theory as much as we do, thought we'd probably seen every rerun over and over again, and so we had quite the showdown on Big Bang Trivia.
Oh, I should get that for my house, because my house is the Big Bang Theory.
Yes, it kind of is, isn't it?
All four boys, and yeah. I would be the penny.
Oh, yeah. You are totally the penny. Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We're going to say that also coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Selena Heller with her article over at UpNorthNewsWI.com about the Combine Demolition Derby. That is the headline act at her local county fair every year, a county fair that she's worked at for many years. And then we were looking at what else is new out there, we couldn't help but notice new in the Journal Sentinel is this headline called Everybody Poops. Wisconsin is a national leader in using it to monitor public health, which I know is not really a surprise for, you know, for me and for you, Kristen. Obviously, we talk about public health, but I suppose a lot of people would not appreciate, you know, the depths to which we have to go to, you know, monitor public health.
That would be a tough job, wouldn't it? The mm-hmm. poop monitor?
Yes. Again, yeah. There's something, teach AI to do that, you know? use your little robot arm to, you know, go into samples of municipal wastewater and then, you know, get all the information that can tell us about, you know, what's what is happening out there, and what are we flushing out of our bodies, shall we say?
Wastewater does not lie.
No, not at all. And honestly, wastewater samples turned out to be a very critical part of tracking COVID-19 and its spread. So, you know, Wisconsin is a national leader, but Kristen, as you've told us, Wisconsin was a national leader in public health for quite some time, thanks to your friend Pat McBride.
Pat McBride, Pat Remington, and so many other people at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. That is the full name of the school. They were the first medical school to brand themselves with an emphasis on public health. And I think that is incredibly innovative for a state like Wisconsin. And it really points out the urgency of public health as an individual health issue.
It is an individual, but also I think it helps underscore the importance of, you know, we're all in this together, that whole rugged mm-hmm. individual, don't tell me what to do. No, public health is it's what's underneath hometown health, you know, that yes. what's good for the community can be good for all of us.
Oh, for sure. It's clean water. It's sewage. It's all of those things that we take for granted, that those were the origins mm-hmm. of public health. And, you know, while we're talking about poop, can I just give a shout out to Green Bay, the toilet paper capital of the United States?
There you go. That's just the shout out, just the right length before we head into a commercial. I see Selena Heller has joined us already, so we'll talk to her about a combine demolition derby and more on this Up North News Radio Monday edition. We'll be back here up north.
God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my power, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester.
Check this out. Heller already knows the words and is singing along to this. What'd you find, Aaron? Oh, Aaron's taking a phone call. I forgot. We have a weather report that we have to do yet. Honest to goodness, when you get sometimes on these commercial breaks, which you can also watch on our Facebook page, I have forgotten to refill my coffee over here. Now I'm out of coffee. I'm looking up TikTok videos of combine demolition derbies. So we'll come back to Selena Heller and Kristen Lyerly in just a moment. But first, there's some actual business to get to. And I'm the one who's been saying how great it is that, you know, we've been getting some rain, some nice, slow, steady rain throughout the night and the morning. And Jennifer Wojcicki is here from Weatherology now to tell us all about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, like you said, some areas of rain this morning, and it's much needed rain. We've been still in kind of that drought and not as much rain as we normally should have by this point of the year. Looks a little on the cool side to start out the work week today for actually much of the Central Plains and Upper Midwest, actually, as that cold front fully pushes through today, lingering in the 60s for most of the listening areas today, a few warmer spots around 70 around Milwaukee and over in Amory as well. Pretty decent chance for those showers and storms across the board today, lingering into the evening hours for most, but drying out around west central Wisconsin tonight. Looks like a marginal risk for severe weather around Waukesha and Milwaukee today and tonight as well, so definitely something that we'll keep you posted on as we get through the day and evening hours tonight. For Tuesday, we'll start to see a warm front push through the state, warming into the mid to upper 70s across the board, still below average for this time of the year. Looks like sunny skies tomorrow as well. Wednesday midweek, warmer with that warm front fully pushing through. Highs in the mid to low 80s for most, lingering around about the upper 70s around Oshkosh, but overall, a more average day midweek here on Wednesday. Sunny skies expected, but then a chance for showers and storms come in, mainly late Wednesday night for everyone, ahead of a cold front that will come in briefly through Thursday. Thursday highs drop back into the mid to upper 70s with that very quick cold front. Sunny skies from Wisconsin Rapids westward, including Richland Center and Amory and Baldwin. Then a chance for showers and storms continuing from the previous night for Wausau down to Madison and eastward towards the lake. Then by Friday, another warm front actually starts to come in already. Sunny skies to round out the work week with highs back in the mid to low 80s, again, right where we should be for this time of the year.
Although I got to say, for right now, it's been such a nice thing to give the air conditioning a break and to have the windows open and be so fully enjoyable. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great start to the week.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. There's Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology, and back now with Selena Heller, Kristen Lyerly, Aaron Zommers is here as well. And let's see, where was, oh, I was looking at TikTok videos from Selena of the Combine Demolition Derby at the Jackson County Fair. Kristen, have you looked that up yet? I know you were, you couldn't wait to go see it.
I have not, but it's going to be the first thing I do when we get off the air. I'm so excited.
It is insane. Selena, good morning. And it's not a surprise to you because you've worked at the Jackson County Fair since you were, you know, knee high.
That's correct. Yes. My mom worked at the fair in the office. And so I think since I was, gosh, in high school or something with her. So I was feverishly selling tickets for all the grandstand entertainment and all that sort of stuff. So I've been working at the fair for many, many years.
And so let's just go back to square one. And it's, again, she's got an article about it over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But What's a combine demolition derby? I mean, I feel like we know what it is, but I mean, how does this happen? I mean, these are expensive pieces of equipment.
Well, right. You wouldn't think you would take a, you know, $50,000 piece of farm machinery and smash it up, but they do.
But now these are not like, you know, new off the showroom floor. These are, you kind of go hunting for some old ones, right?
Oh, right. They become obsolete, you know, after a while as they upgrade and things don't work on them anymore, or you want to get new and improved. So they go to auctions. Usually it's people with kind of ties to the farming industry, you know, they go to auctions, they look for them anywhere, you know, sitting outside in case some farmer isn't using theirs that's become old. So they buy them and then fix them up. So they have to take the glass out, any headlights or taillights, remove the gas tank and put it in the inside in the grain box. And they just kind of move things around and brace it up a little bit. And then they go into the show and smash each other up and see who can be the last one standing.
And the thing that's so special about it is that it's a real moneymaker for the Jackson County Fair.
Well, that's right. I think at the Jackson County Fair, it's been going on, I think this was the 14th year, and it's becoming bigger and bigger. First, they started out with just two combines because it was pretty new at that time. So just two combines going at it. And now this year was the biggest ever. They were up to like 15. It was 15. And so they had heats of five. So five at one time, and then the winners go on to the feature event at the end. And they have time because the goal is kind of to render them immobile. So they pop the tires or hit the axle so they can't drive anymore. And so then in between, they have to put new tires on. Can you imagine these giant tires?
Oh my gosh.
It's not just fixing a tire at the side of the road. It's these giant tires, and they have to replace them so then they can be in the end.
The smile on Kristen's face has just told me that she has found a new way to blow off some steam and some work stress is to find...
I'm imagining the pit crew that puts on these new tires. And like, right? There's probably never a dull moment as you're watching, you know, the heats.
The heat of five.
Oh my gosh.
And I know. This year, excuse me, one tipped over. And luckily one was on the other side of it, so it kind of caught it. But he was like pretty much sideways. And so they had to flip him up, and he got back in and he kept going. So,
oh, this just
right, that, pretty that, high.
It has an episode of ridiculousness written all over it. And back to the crowd and the money making, what'd you say, 3,500 people buying tickets for that?
Yes. So my job is selling tickets. So it's like the line is forever and ever, and it packs the grandstand. And I have to say always, we need more bleachers. We need more bleachers. So they set more bleachers up on the outside, and it's just packed. And so people come from all over, and they put this on their calendar every year. And it's a big event for the fair, and it really helps, you know, with expenses for other things. So it's kind of a twofold, great entertainment, and it helps the fair provide other entertainment too.
Yeah, you get fair, you know, to get the maintenance, the equipment, you know, the computers behind the scenes, all the personnel. That's a great moneymaker for it. So
it is. They're happy with the turnout, and it's one of the biggest in the state.
Is it? Okay. And you had the story. You told the story starting with Jackson County farmer Bill McNulty. right? I mean, yes. here's a guy who's been part of, he's been named part of the Outstanding Farm Family of the Year. Clearly a good steward of the land, but now let's crash up some machinery.
Yeah, so on the first day of the fair, they got this award for the Outstanding Farm Family, and then he was getting his combine ready to go in on Sunday and crash his combine up. He was 64, and he's got grandkids, and they came and watched him, and they were so excited. And then he had his brother in it, and his son, and his nephew. So then at the end, it was kind of down to the wire with a couple other family members. So actually, it was him and his nephew battling it out to be the winner.
Him versus the nephew. And who came out on top?
The 64-year-old Bill McDuffie.
Bill, Uncle Bill got it. He had to.
Yeah. Good work. He wasn't giving up. I talked to him afterwards and I said to his wife, I said, what did you think was going to happen? Like, would one kind of give up and be like, okay, I'm going
to
Bill
would give way to the young fella. And Bill was not having that.
Nope. She said, nope, I knew both of them were going to show no mercy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and he was so excited afterwards. He said, I never won the whole thing before. And he said, I'm shaking.
See?
Thank you.
But I'm just trying to envision, you talk about the long line. Of course there's a long line. With you selling tickets, it would be like Dr. Lyerly here selling tickets, because everybody would stop and they'd have this whole conversation like, oh, how are you doing? And how do you ever see Judy anymore? You know, like they always say to me about Earl co-anchor, and with Kristen, it would be, oh, what are those boys up to? You know, you guys would get yelled at for selling the tickets too slowly, but they would, that's people would come.
It.
Yep.
That's all part of it.
Well, yep. And it's always, they know they're going to see me in there every year and I'm from there. So, yep, you're right. It's kind of a little bit of seeing everybody and saying hi. And, and I see the same people coming through and my hometown.
It is. And so, again, you can see that on the website. But if you want to watch a video of it, I know it's up on our TikTok account. So look for Up North News on TikTok, and you'll be able to see what is an epic battle. This is one of the heats, right? Because I think I'm seeing five combines in there.
Yes. And so that one, that combine that's right there in the front is actually Bill McNulty. And
He
took off. And then afterwards he said, oh my goodness, I had it in street mode. And so it went the fastest, 18 miles an hour. So when he took off, he was going pretty fast. And he's like, I didn't realize I had it in street mode.
Wait, is that a rule that you can't have it in street mode?
I don't think it's a rule. There are a list of rules, but I don't think that's it. I think you can go 18 and that's okay.
Oh, that's
I feel
so
like
funny.
Bill McNulty needs a nickname, like something, you know, harvesting Bill McNulty. Something. It's not coming to mind, but
the harvester.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
The harvester. Yep.
I could totally see.
He was tearing it up. He was tearing it up in the ring.
Oh, gosh, no doubt. All right, I've only left a short time here to talk about one of your other stories, and that was a floating circus that goes down the Mississippi River. You heard about this, and you checked it out?
Yeah, the Flotsam River Circus. So it's kind of they call themselves a troupe on a ramshackle raft, and they float down the river, and they give river performances all along the Mississippi River. So it's happening now until it's like 4 or 5 weeks from now. And so they're coming up this last weekend. They performed in La Crosse, and it's quite an eclectic group of performers, but they're very talented and have a historied past. Each of them do. So they're very good at what they do. And it's really good entertainment. It's pretty funny. And then they're coming up, I think, this week, August 16th in Prairie du Chien, August 17th in Cassville. So you just pull up a chair along the beach and it's a free show, and they perform in the river, and then they get done and then they float down the river, and they're going all the way to Missouri. And that's where they end up. So they started in the cities and then they go all the way and float down. And if you see this in the river and you think, what in the world is that?
That's fun.
How great is that? But of course, there's no make goods. I mean, because if you don't make the show that day, it's like, well, we'll see you. You know, you always know where the next show is going to be, and it's not going to be upriver, you know?
Nope, they're just floating down. And I mean, people are seeing this, and they literally just, they stay on this, like, it's a homemade, just a makeshift raft, and it looks like, you know, a Huckleberry Finn. And yep, so.
From a circus standpoint, Kristen, I imagine your act would be, because you love to bike. You ever see those steel domes, you know, where they bicycle inside the dome and do like 360s and go around there? Would that be your circus act if you ran away? No. Enjoying the circus? No. That's not your thing? Okay.
No. Daredevil. I'd be more like the biker who is pushing you down the river. I'd be the paddle boat person. While circus performers were able to be people with talent were able to do their talent things.
Yes. Not like people like me who'd just be the MC. That would be my talent on that. Selena, stick around. We're going to talk about a meteor shower story that you did and some much more coming up on this Monday, August 14th. Again, you can see these stories and the serious ones that we work on as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, check us out on social media too. We'll be back. You're up north. I'm an international harvester. Sometimes we pick out the bumper music. Sometimes it's a wild card from Aaron, and we're going with disco this morning, Aaron.
Yep, this is "Shining Star" by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Because he's leading us into the Perseid meteor shower. Very good.
Nice.
All right, we're back with Selena Heller from Up North News. Dr. Kristen Lyerly sticking around as well, and Selena's co-host Whiskers, I believe, right?
Yep, Whiskers is here.
Okay, Whiskers, the most patient cat on planet Earth. All right, so before we get to that, I didn't even get to the Brewers game in the last segment, so let me give that a quick update. Carlos Santana had a 3-run homer. Freddie Peralta pitched 6 scoreless innings. The Brewers beat the White Sox 7-3 on Sunday, completed a 3-game sweep, the first time that they have had a 3-game sweep of the White Sox since the start of the 1986 season. Let's see, Christian Yelich had a 2-run single. The Brewers are now up 3.5 games on the Cubs, who lost in Toronto. But now from Chicago, the Brewers are heading out west today. They have 3 night games against the LA Dodgers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then they head down to Texas for 3 against the Rangers next weekend. And again, you can check out all the Brewers action on Oshkosh Air Support and on news from the center in the Richland Center area. All right, back to our meteor shower, which Aaron was saying he caught some of it over the weekend here. Selena, what were you writing about it?
Oh, the Perseid meteor shower. I learned a lot, actually. It was pretty interesting. I talked to a UW Eau Claire physics and astronomy professor, Eric Hendrickson, and he explained that it comes from the comet Swift-Tuttle. And since Swift-Tuttle was one of the most recent comets to be in the sky, the Earth passes through the tail of the comet, and the particles left behind are what we go through. And since it just happened not that long ago, the particles haven't dissipated. So it's the dust and debris that the Earth goes through of the tail of this comet, and it hits them, and then they shoot into the atmosphere and burn up, and that's our meteor shower. And it's he said, you know, we call them shooting stars, but it's actually dust and rock and things that we hit, and it burns up, and that's how we see a meteor shower.
It's basically if a truck were in front of us kicking up, you know, dirt and rocks and everything, and we're we're eating the dust of a comet that just
nice.
Went by. But did you hear Kristen how she made that sound so positive and upbeat? It's the first time we've talked about something in the longest time that didn't involve it smashing into Earth and ending all civilization. We got to send Bruce Willis up, you know, to drill through it or something.
I appreciated Selena's take on it much more than yours, Pat.
Yes. Right.
Also, the name Swift-Tuttle. That's Swift-Tuttle. Just like, it's so cute and like punchy.
Yes.
Yes, Swift-Tuttle. And yes, and then the constellations in the sky that we look for. So we looked for this. I had a little map of the constellations, if you will. And you look for a W in the sky, and that's Cassiopeia. And then below Cassiopeia is Perseid. And so that's where the Perseid meteor shower, Perseus, and that's where the Perseid meteor shower comes from. And Perseus is like, kind of looks like a person. And so the meteors look like they're shooting out from Perseus. And he's in the northeast sky. And that's where you look. And then that's where they're supposed to be coming from. We saw a few.
Kristen caught none of that because as soon as you said a W, she went into Bucky mode over here.
Oh,
was making her little W, you know.
Have you ever used one of those apps that shows the night sky where you can just like hold it up to the sky and it shows you where all the constellations are?
I saw that on Emery's iPad from school and I was like, I said, can we do this? Like, you know, we're not supposed to do anything else, but I saw it on there and I thought, oh, maybe we can just put it on there and then take it off before you have to send it back to school. Cause I thought that was really cool. Oh,
wow.
You can download it for free onto your phone and you just literally like hold it up to the sky and it shows you where all the constellations are. Cause I can't see them. I just look up and I see stars. I can't see.
Oh, good. Colors. So it's not just me. I just look up and I just, I really don't get how, but again, they didn't have TV back then, you know, so this was cheap entertainment, right. You know, it's like us looking at clouds. Oh, that's a ducky. That's a horsey. You know, it's like, right. You get the same thing with the stars. No, I do the modern version of it. I got the app where I can track flights that they come over and, you know, poor Sherry has to hear me say when we see a plane going over, oh, look, that one's going from Singapore to New York.
Wow, that's so nerdy.
That's how I gaze at the sky. And then sometimes because of the bathrooms that are up there where it's like we're going through their tail and these little particles come down and no, sorry, I'm mixing up airplane restrooms with comet tails here all of a sudden, but
you might have been able to see it. So we were at actually Ashley for the Arts. And so we were staying and Emery was there too. And she was like, she knew to look for the W. And so all of a sudden I heard her say, I see the W. Oh. So I think you can.
So I did not realize that it was Ashley for the Arts this past weekend in Arcadia until we started heading down to La Crosse. And we usually take 93 down, you know, most of the way to La Crosse, which cuts through Arcadia. But I mean, we got just outside the city limits of Eau Claire and it was a slow single file. And the whole time we're thinking, are we following a tractor? Is there a funeral procession?
Oh, boy. And
finally, I connected the dots. I'm like, this is a long line of traffic snaking into Arcadia, which is like an hour away, you know, going down there. So we ended up, then we used our own little app and we basically went, you know, four wheeling based on some of the county roads that it took us through. But we eventually bypassed Arcadia and got to La Crosse. But who did you see while you were there?
Oh, gosh. Tyler Hubbard. He was one of the front men from Florida Georgia Line, but he's off on his own. And then the headliner that night was One Republic.
Oh, did you see him?
Yes.
How were they?
Mm-hmm. Very good. I didn't know about them before, so it was very good. And it was Emery's first music festival at 6 years old. So
oh, that's cool.
I didn't think we were going to stay that late, but I said, do you want to stay or go? And she's like, stay. And she danced the night away.
Oh, that's so great. So much better than my first concert, you know, which was Donnie and Marie, but that's another story for another time.
This was very family friendly. So that was kind of the nice thing.
Oh yeah. No, that is great. No, One Republic again, here comes Grandpa telling the story. One of those instances where you hear a band on the radio and you go, hey, I've heard a couple of their things. I like them. I have to look them up. I'm like, oh, that's One Republic. Turns out I like some of their songs. Not everything is from the Yacht Rock era over there. Kristen's looking so dubious. Like, oh, look, Grandpa discovered a band.
They are really nice. Brian Tedder does some really great work, and I enjoy them very much, too.
But, you know, that did happen to me with one other band that I'm kind of hesitant to bring up, but One Direction. Again, I'd always mock it when it came on TV. And then at one point, I don't know if it was Sherry or one of my daughters going, you know, you like their songs. I'm like, what songs? And they told me about, you know, Night Change and What Makes You Beautiful and Story of My Life. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I like all those songs. Apparently, I'm a Harry Styles fan and just didn't know it, you know?
That is the Yacht Rock of the 2040s.
You know what? You are absolutely right. This is the Yacht Rock of the 2040s. And Emery's going to be like, oh yeah, I danced to it when I was, you know, 5-6 years old at this festival.
Yep. We have pictures and video to remember.
We got to be getting near the end of the summer concert festival. Kristen, I know you were doing something on the Riverwalk recently. Are there any other events coming up for you before summer ends? Or we're kind of getting near the end. Although I did notice, the Minnesota State Fair has some very big names compared to a lot of times they have just a whole bunch of D-listers, but they've got some big groups coming. Anything in Northeast Wisconsin?
No, well, I'm not paying attention because I'm not going to be there. And it just, I have a giant case of FOMO.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. But it was Hamburger Fest over the weekend in Seymour.
Hamburger Fest?
Hamburger Fest.
Yeah, Seymour, the county seat of Outagamie County. It's the home of the hamburger. So that was fun.
So did you have a hamburger to celebrate?
I didn't go. Again, FOMO. I'm working.
Well, here's the one that is coming out, because we've already done Summerfest and we've done the Wisconsin State Fair. So folks here on the western side of the state, this lineup, and it starts August 24th and goes through Labor Day. So the 24th is the Black Keys. The 25th is the Chicks, formerly Dixie Chicks. The 26th is Keith Urban. The 27th is Boys to Men and Chaka Khan. And let's see, there is Brandi Carlile and Winona Judd on the 29th. Duran Duran on Thursday, August 31st. Kristen, you around?
Yeah.
Are you available?
I'm going to a football game. It's the Gophers playing Nebraska that night. But I could. Now I'm having FOMO again.
Wait. You're going to a Gopher game, which is like a hop, skip, and a jump away from the state fair. You could do both.
I could do both. Could I do both?
You could totally do both.
Oh, man.
You just make an appearance at the one to say you've been there, and then you go crazy at the other one.
I could tailgate at the Gopher game, and then when the actual football game gets bad, I could go to the Duran Duran concert.
There, see?
Yeah. Oh,
see, we are the cure for your FOMO right here.
It's all coming together now.
Yep. And then the next night, September 1st, is the Jonas Brothers. And then they end on Labor Day with Blippi. And I don't know what Blippi is, but I know everyone with young kids goes crazy for Blippi. Oh, Selena's got the look again with the little kid.
Oh, yeah. Selena. My niece, Gracie, I know who Blippi is too.
Okay. Can you two tell us who Blippi is?
He's just one of those kids artists who is a goofy guy. And he's wearing like plaid and orange and these bright glasses. And he talks like this. I'm Blippi.
He kind of trots around and he's not, you know, horrible. Like,
it's so great to see the look on Kristen's face, you know, which is like my, like, this is not in my wheelhouse anymore. We don't have young kids around anymore, you know?
I'm just thinking about like how everything comes around again. So this is like the Pee Wee Herman of the now.
Or, you know, for us, it was Barney, you know, the dinosaur. Raffy was the guy who did the music. So, you know, there was something called the Teddy Bear Band, which turned out to be like they were a rock and roll band by night, but they realized where you can really make your money is during the day as a band for kids. So they'd make money as the Teddy Bear Band by day from desperate parents who just take my kids for a little while and entertain them.
And then they we like Bluey. That's the new cartoon.
Yes, yeah.
I love Bluey. He's like for adults, at least. I love Bluey, so we watch that.
The four-year-old grandson is definitely big into Bluey that way. That's right. Kristen, you reminded me when I was talking about the Brewers game that there actually was a Packers exhibition game over the weekend. Did you? I caught little bits of it. Did you see any of it?
I didn't because I was working, but I heard good things. So everybody's been wondering, what is the scoop with Jordan Love? Mm-hmm. Does he have what it takes? And it looks like he has a strong arm. It looks like he's confident. His team members believe in him. You know, the Packers have kept him on the roster for a long time, for 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers. So there is something to this kid. I am really excited about what happened on Saturday and to see what happens next week.
And it wasn't just Jordan Love, and I'm blanking on the other backup quarterback's name, but he did really well. There's a new cornerback, Carrington Valentine, who also looked really good. Oh, it was Sean Clifford, I think, is the other quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's preseason, but you don't look at this group and go, oh, you know, now Rodgers is gone and we're going to be terrible. It's like, no, we're going to have a puncher's chance here.
It feels like for the last couple of years, we've been like hanging on because we've been so close. And then we just like never quite even got where we thought we ought to get. But now it just feels like such a new day and the potential is there. So, I mean, let's go Pack, go. 'Tis the season, guys.
And don't we have that case of Schadenfreude every time we see Aaron Rodgers because they're running New York Jets game promos, you know, ceaselessly. And don't you kind of look at it and remember how badly Favre got beat up once he went to the Vikings, you know, and the Jets before that. And, you know, again, Aaron, thank you for your service, but we're really looking forward to that 0-3 start that the Jets are going to get this year. You know,
we really appreciate the history, but like, have you ever seen the movie Miracle about the Miracle on Ice?
Sure.
And when Herb Brooks is the coach, is picking his players, he's not picking all the stars. Yeah. He's picking the players that work well together, because this is a team. This is not about showcasing one individual. And I feel like what Green Bay has now is a team.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Kristen, safe travels. Hope to see you around Lake Wasota here when you come steal my pontoon.
Old Fashions tonight on the deck. See you there.
Thanks, Selena. Talk to you more later.
All right.
All right. When we come back, Civic Media's Terry Bell and Three Things You Should Know, including whatever the hell this song is. We'll be back. You're up north.
What you are.
That tune tells us Terry Bell is here with three things to know to start the week. Terry is the news director for the Civic Media Radio Network. Terry, good morning.
Good
Hope you had
morning.
A good weekend.
I did. I had a very nice weekend. How was yours?
Very relaxing. We had a couple of weeks with kids and grandkids here. And then I had a couple of weeks with trips down to Milwaukee and getting sick somewhere in the middle of that. So we had the laziest day here in a long time. Yesterday it was cloudy all day, never rained during the day, but just so gray and cloudy. We're like, so we didn't feel like, oh, let's go on the pontoon or let's do all kinds of yard work. We just settled down and took it easy. And you got to take those now and then.
Those are important days to have. Don't ever feel bad about doing that. That's important.
Yeah. No, not a bit. So three things to know to start the week. The first is just downright tragic, but we are going to continue hearing more about the wildfire that just decimated, part of Hawaii.
Yeah, when I popped in this morning, I took another check of the death toll, which now has risen to 96. It was in the upper 80s yesterday, so they're finding more victims, and obviously that's tragic. 2,200 buildings.
Upwards of like 1,000 missing, they fear. Doesn't portend well.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, yes. You can expect that number to get higher. At the moment, 96. 2,200 buildings and other structures damaged. This is Friday's numbers, so that, I'm sure, has gone up. Six fires burning in Maui and the Big Island, but officials say the Lanihea fire is now 85% contained, so progress, of course, but my gosh, I've been hearing a lot from people who just love that part of the world and how much they've been affected by it. And there was even a bit of a celebrity social media controversy. The singer Stevie Nicks put out what we used to call a tweet that people felt was a little self-involved and tone deaf, but she spent more time than anything else on that social media post talking about how her niece had lost her vacation home. And that didn't go over well with a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. You kind of want to be a bit more mindful of, people who were, killed or lost a lot more than a vacation home. But, I'll go ahead and add something a little controversial as well. Mm-hmm. And again, to take nothing away from the victims, but it seems like a lot of media want to dwell on, warning systems and things like that. I would like to think, if there's a wildfire in your area, that you would be especially attuned to changing conditions. Now, it's even tougher on an island. There's not any kind of an easy escape route. But given the drought conditions that were going on there, I'm sure, we hear this about the West Coast as well. You just can't. You can't take your eye off the ball for a moment when there's a wildfire anywhere near your area. And it would clearly caught a whole lot of people off guard the way that these things, they spread that fast. And we know from the old Peshtigo fire and plenty of others, it doesn't take much for those things to just explode.
And I think that's what caught people so off guard, because there were people who were not even aware there was a situation at all until it was, almost too late.
Look at the same thing happened with the campfire in California, which was the previous highest death toll of 86 people. Just the speed with which you see these things can travel is just another sad cautionary tale for folks keeping future, you know, incidents in mind. So again, our hearts go out to those folks for what they've had to endure, and certainly for the rebuilding process that we'll have to get going at some point as well. A little closer to home, second topic that we're going to talk about is a major change in the liquor laws that govern everything in Wisconsin, from production to distribution to what you can buy.
There's going to be a hearing on the bill this week, I think, in the Senate. The bill originated in the Assembly. And yeah, big changes to the alcohol buying and selling industry in Wisconsin. We've had for 90 years what's called the three-tiered system, where producers deal with wholesalers who then deal with retailers. And this was set up to prevent against monopolies back at that time. But things have changed. So say you're a brewery or a winery or a distillery. Well, you're the producer and you'd like to be the retailer too. But apparently that gets tricky. And there is a move now to modernize this system, which I think a lot of people, there's a lot of bipartisan support for that idea. The only thing that really causes a lot of controversy is the new restrictions that this bill would put on wedding barns, which are not required to get a liquor license. Typically, it's the people who are renting out the barns who bring their own liquor. But under this bill, wedding barns would be treated more like barns or other event venues where they have to have a license. And the owners of the wedding barns say this would be too big of a financial burden. It'll put so many of us out of business if this comes to pass. So that'll be the interesting thing to see how that plays out.
Yeah, because again, is it one of the things where they're going to furnish or have it furnished? It's almost like the whole thing about the social media companies. Are you a platform or are you a publisher? And in many ways, you're a little bit of both. But a key part of this liquor law overhaul is that there will be a new office created within the Department of Revenue. Right now, there really isn't a single entity, and so there's a lot of confusion. So maybe the creation of this new office will help bring some clarity to that wedding barn issue. Certainly hope that they do, because it's a long overdue overhaul of these liquor laws. Third thing to know, President Biden coming to Milwaukee tomorrow, and that's no accident.
Yeah, no, it is not. It's he's here for a couple of reasons. One, I think he's, you know, this is kind of part of the gamesmanship of politics. We've been talking about the Republican debate coming up in Milwaukee next week. Well, the president is going to come in, and now we're talking about him for a couple of days. And that is, of course, by design. Also, not only is that Republican debate coming up next week, but this week also marks the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. And the president is all too happy to come to of an important swing state like Wisconsin to talk about all the benefits that that law has brought to us in the past year.
Well, it's something that we have really been banging the drum for, certainly over the past couple of weeks, is the disconnect between what voters do and don't know about, you know, Biden's agenda, that Democrats have never really excelled at tooting their own horn. They're always moving on to the next policy debate rather than trying to basically win the PR war over what was in the past. And so it's nice that the Biden folks are, you know, embracing the title of Bidenomics and trying to make things happen with it. But, you know, they have to be aggressive if it's going to be successful. So, you know, I got to salute whoever decided, let's send the president to Milwaukee, you know, 8 days before the Republican debate. It's a you know, a good crafty move on their part. So for these stories and much more, follow the Civic Media news team with news, including right here at the top of the hour, all across the Civic Media radio network, led by news director Terry Bell. Terry, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
Hey, coming up tomorrow, State Representative Christina Shelton is going to join me. She and Francesca Hong, shall we say, infiltrated a right-wing legislators' conference. And so they'll tell us more about what's being planned on the agenda from the conservative side of the political aisle. Thanks for joining us. We enjoy the downloads and all of you joining us live. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.